Hey everyone, welcome to Trust the Trail. We are your outdoor guides, Ariane Petrucci
and Scott Jantz.
This is episode 72, weighing in on trail magic.
We are now on patreon.com. If you'd like to support Trust the Trail podcast, please check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/trustthetrail. We would love for you guys to be a part of our outdoor backpacking community. Plus, you receive our podcasts early before it hits the world. Another way to support us is by listening to Trust the Trail on the Radio Public app. It's for both iOS and Android, so you can download it today and add Trust the Trail to your library. So enjoy.
On this episode, we discuss trail magic and what a trail angel is defined as. We dive into the thought, does trail magic help or harm your pack weight when backpacking a long distance trail? Whether it's the Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail, or even a section hike on either or any trail for that matter, we would love to hear what you have to say on this subject by joining our Trust the Trail Facebook group. And so if you just want to come hang with us, go to facebook.com/groups/trustthetrailpodcast and join in on our podcast family, become part of our community and join in on the conversation.
Yeah. So trail magic.
This is a big topic.
It's a bit, well, you know, so Ariane and I have done trail magic for 7 years in a row.
Until
in the same spot.
Yeah.
And we have stories. Oh my God. We could probably do 4 or 5 podcasts just on the stories that we've seen on the trail. But we did trail magic every year at the same exact spot on the Appalachian Trail to really at first provide encouragement, support. And we did provide some food. We provided, you know, like normally hot dogs, but a lot of fruit like grapes, oranges, apples,
coffee. Hot cocoa.
Yeah. Sometimes it snowed. Sometimes it was blistering hot. Sometimes it rained. I mean, we were in a thunder. We did trail magic 1 year. I mean, it was such a massive thunderstorm. I thought we were never going to, you know, make it, through the night. But because we were on top of a mountain doing it. But
well, it was more about getting back down that sketchy road.
Oh, I know, right? Safely, oh, yeah. Yeah, snow, freezing rain, you name it. We've done it out there for trail magic. But I think the we thought differently this year. And so this was the first year we did not do trail magic.
It felt so strange.
It did.
Not doing it just because it's been part of our, you know, yearly routine. And, you know, every March we go out there and do trail magic. And this was the first March in which we had not done it. And it really changed for us because, you know, not only did our food selection grow, but our numbers grew too. And so the amount of people wanting to join in with us doing it and the amount of others also partaking in it as well had increased. And we started noticing that it started to grow, the thought grow in popularity. And, you know, I remember some of our earliest moments were just, they were the unexpected moments.
Right.
They were oh, my yeah. favorite moments.
Yeah, those are the best.
And we had anything from, you know, unexpected injuries, where they needed to be carted off the mountain and go into town. One was a hospital visit. You know, one was a woman completely facing her fear, but also in the same realm, completely unprepared. And we were giving her a crash course on backpacking 101, right. Yeah. Like all within like a few hours.
So let's set the tone from where this is, so everyone can get kind of visual.
Yeah.
About this where we are. We normally did our trail magic 10 miles north of the start of the Appalachian Trail. Okay, the start. So people have been out there for a day. They spent probably 1 or 2 nights at the most, and we did it at a right off of a forest road, which is not easy to get to.
And that was half the fun.
And we set up there, and we did it very close to Springer Mountain on the Appalachian Trail. Like I said, about 10, 12 miles north the start. And the reason why we did this in the beginning was because it was so much fun to see people come to our table after spending a night on the Appalachian Trail and them coming and saying, "Oh my God. Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy you're here.
I haven't had fresh fruit all day.
It was so cold last night." And I'm thinking, man, you got 14 more states to go through.
But for us, part of...
It was so much fun.
Well, part of the joy is getting to talk to newbies, getting to talk to people that have this idea in their mind of what backpacking should be, and then faced very quickly overnight with the reality of what it could be, and what it is in some situations. And for us, there's so much joy in getting to see that realization go from this idealistic form into, oh, I'm actually going to be backpacking. I'm actually doing this backpacking sport. And for us, it's that realization, that moment. It's just that newcomer to the whole idea of backpacking. And it's so gratifying to be able to answer questions for people and support them in these questions that maybe they didn't think to ask, but all of a sudden they're realizing, oh, I may want to dive into this question and figure it out.
My favorite part is, like, they see the trail guide. I mean, they see the elevation gains and losses, but that's all on paper.
It's very different.
My favorite thing was when they come to our table and say, "Oh my God, these climbs are really tough." I'm like, "Yeah, that's why they call it the Appalachian Mountains," you know. And so, you know, we did that for a long time, and just kind of set the tone. It has grown exponentially, and that's what we really want to talk about today is, you know, how that's changed and kind of why we're not doing that anymore. I think we should define what trail magic is.
Yep.
And then set the stage for the rest of the podcast. So trail magic, defined by the ATC, the Appalachian Trail Committee. This is the ATC. They define trail magic as an act of generosity where basic amenities of civilization, like level of the drama, are intentionally absent and often received in a heightened sense of wonder and gratitude by hikers. These acts of generosity are referred to as trail magic. Trail magic doesn't always mean food, though, by the way. Sometimes it's a ride into town or a helping hand. Or just sometimes it's a word of encouragement, or seeing something so wonderful on the trail where you're supposed to be at you're supposed to be there at the exact time in your life. And that's kind of what trail magic is. However, a lot of people now in the ATC, when it comes to food, when it comes to handing out food on the trail, they're not calling it trail magic anymore. They're calling it hiker feeds. And I think that's kind of what we are talking about today is, like, yeah, trail magic's kind of changed a little bit over the years. You know, it's gotten a little bit more crowded on the trail. And I mean, we've had some great experiences on trail magic. We feel trail magic is just helping out the backpacker, in whatever way we can. And just doing it out of love for the backpacker.
Yeah, and I mean, for us, when it started as that, but it also included food, because, I mean, come on, food. You know, yeah. you definitely want to. But it definitely has grown. And if you look at the majority of hiker you know, gratitude, you know, what trail angels are providing for the hikers, you know, it is very derived around food. You know, you will hear the majority of what trail magic becomes for people is these foods and these opportune times in which has helped them up a mountain or has encouraged them or has been that oomph to get them going. I mean, I even experienced it for myself and, you know, specifically with food. And so it's become very food oriented, which is where the ATC is coming in and saying, whoa, back off of the food. That's not trail magic. That's a hiker feed. So let's define the difference between the hiker feed versus the hiker, or I'm sorry, the trail magic. And trail magic will always be known as trail magic, and it includes food. And no matter how hard the ATC attempts to, you know, separate and define them as alternate ideas, it's become this massive trail magic thought to provide foods at these crossroads, at these these trailheads, and it is become that, and that is where the rest of our podcast goes.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I couldn't have said it better. And, you know, like I hate to be the guy that says back in my day, but really back in my day.
It was a Snickers bar.
when, you know, I did the Appalachian Trail in 2003, their social media wasn't really, you know, prevalent. And so there were no selfies taken. There were no, it wasn't very social. Meetup.com wasn't around. Facebook groups weren't around. Our biggest technology debate was, do you bring your cell phone, which was, by the way, like this huge flip phone. So, you know, we didn't have a lot of trail magic. We just didn't. And the trail magic that I did run into were usually Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, you know, volunteering to try to earn a merit badge. And that was really it. We didn't have clubs, groups, organizations. We just didn't have that. And so, like, when I did run into someone parked on a gravel road that was handing out hot dogs, oh, absolutely did I indulge. I mean, it was like, oh my God. And but it wasn't about the hot dog. It was about, thank you so much for being here and showing support.
Well, also the socialization aspect is where, you know, you are getting these hiking groups. It's easy to coordinate that way.
Well, I
indulged in some sausage wrapped in tortilla, like pulled when out you of did like it? Yeah. A hot,
right.
Cold. It was like unbelievably perfect at that exact moment.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not dissing this at all.
Right. No, I know.
There is definitely such a reward in the food aspect, for sure.
Yeah, but then again, we toyed around with your trail name. It could have been Tapeworm at any point in time.
I think anybody.
How you got solo, I have no idea. But it could have gone to Tapeworm. It was close.
I probably received solo because nobody wanted to hike with me because I was eating everyone's food.
Yeah, right. It could have easily been Tapeworm. So, but the thing is that, you know, yeah, it's changed. It's kind of like morphed into, well, I'll say this. So now in northern Georgia, north of Atlanta, we have 95 hiking clubs and organizations. 95. And at any given time during the spring and summer, every single one of those hiking clubs want to contribute to the Appalachian Trail and provide trail magic, which is great. That's awesome. And I think that also, though, has to play in a part where, you know, backpackers now that are hiking a long distance trail, whether it's Pacific Crest Trail also, because there's a lot of trail magic and on the Pacific Crest Trail, and that's growing also. It's a little bit harder to, set up a table and a canopy in the desert around Mount Whitney, but
it can be done.
I'm sure it can. But the Appalachian Trail is an emotional trail. It's it has a connection to so many different people, and I think the connection to the AT and how people feel about it, whether they're going to backpack or not, they want to be connected to it. And so the motivation to say, hey, let's go out and connect to the Appalachian Trail and provide trail magic, I think is just so much more prevalent today because of social media than it was, when I hiked it, I think that, people, whether they're going to backpack the trail where they have dreams of backpacking the trail, or they just want to see the look on a backpacker's face when they come to that trailhead.
Well, in most cases, in a lot of cases, it's been a previous hiker. It's been somebody who has completed, the trail. And in a lot of cases, what I've run into, it's people that have done this and they're trying to give back to these individuals that are now embarking on the same journey that they had previously done. I ran into...
And that was my motivation when I started it.
Exactly. And I ran into two different hikers that were trail angels, providing trail magic for the hikers passing through. And they were bringing their families involved in it to connect their parents, to connect their siblings that weren't on the trail, to the idea of what they went through. So they almost are bringing their family into the journey and the experience, down the road, of course, and, in the future for them. And it's just, so it's really interesting to see how the trail angels, which are those that are providing this, unexpected offering to the hikers, how it's morphed, but it definitely single-handedly has increased in popularity, specifically, I would say both the Appalachian Trail and the Pacific Crest Trail, but in particular, the Appalachian Trail.
It's the most popular.
Because there's so much of a desire to connect to it, both as a hiker and somebody who can't actually hike it, but wants to give to those that are hiking.
Well, I think that's the key. And so the question then is this. If you are starting your hike on a long distance hike, now, we're not talking about through hiking the Appalachian Trail or through hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. We're talking about, hey, I'm gonna be out here for 3 weeks. I'm gonna be out here for a month. I want to get a feeling. Maybe you're prepping to do a long distance hike. And so you want to get a good feeling of it. So you get out there, and yeah, you're going to maybe start in the springtime with a lot of different other backpackers on the Appalachian Trail, and you're hiking, and you pack, now the food is a big issue. When you're going to leave your home and you're going to hit the trail, the mental game, and this is what we teach in our backpacking bootcamp class, and this is what we teach on our long distance trail prep class. The mental game of, oh my God, I've got to pack, all this food. I'm going to starve out there. I'm going to, it's, oh my God, what am I going
to
do?
What's so easy to,
I'm going to be in the wilderness for God's sake.
It's so easy to misgauge.
And you pack too much.
Especially, and we've talked about this before, is that you pack too much up front too, because your body is overworking in a realm that it's not accustomed to. And so therefore you are going into overdrive and your body is not hungry. So now you have excess food on top of what you've excess food.
I did a whole presentation on this. So when you first start physically exerting yourself, you're not hungry. Your appetite actually shuts down. So when you get out on the Appalachian Trail and you're very excited, your adrenaline's already in overdrive, and you
and
hike
your
that,
pack weight is already too
yeah you're four too, carrying
way too, too heavy much with weight food.
And so you know you do that first 10 miles and then you run into a tent and they're like, hey, here's a hot dog. You know what we're trying to say is that, you know what, maybe, just maybe, you ought to just keep walking. Maybe. Now, I know it's a social thing, and I know you're the first desire, the first instinct is like, oh my God, I'm out in the wilderness. Grab that hot dog like it's the last hot dog you'll ever have in your life. Well, the truth is, it's the Appalachian Trail. You know,
there'll be a hot dog.
There's
going to
be
a
hot dog in another 20 miles during the spring.
Possibly.
You know, during hiking season. And so, you know, I guess the debate or the, you know, the discussion that we want to have is that if during the peak of hiking season where you have all these hiking groups, now there are 95 just in northern Georgia. I haven't talked about South Carolina, Tennessee, or North Carolina. Okay. So when, and they do trail magic also. So as you're hiking the trail and you're running into, you know, they call it trail magic, you know, again, other people call it hiker feeds, whatever. As you're hiking and you're grabbing an apple here, orange here, hot dog here, a Danish there, a chili. Chili's real popular for trail magic. So as you're going along, you're not eating the food in your food bag. Guess what? So the overweighted food bag that you started with is still an overweighted bag on the trail. You're not reducing weight. And so, you know, that's why when you get to these outfitters, the food box is always so full because people are like, well, I haven't eaten anything out of my food bag. Why did I carry, you know, 20 pounds worth of weight? So we're kind of saying that, yeah, you know, we're not so sure anymore that, you know, the trail magic or the hiker feeds that are, you know, we're not sure that that's the best way to help a long distance backpacker anymore.
Well, it's not only harming, I don't know if harm's a pretty harsh word, but it's not helping your food weight, reducing it and eating what you have in there, but it's also the mental preparation and understanding, you know, how much your body is intaking and how much you're able to eat and what you're able to fuel yourself with. For me, part of understanding, you know, a long distance hike, even though, you know, I had only done a portion of the Appalachian Trail, was understanding how my body reacted over amount of time and what I was able to consume and how that altered. And these trail magic stations that you run into that are so focused on the food itself aren't helping that mental preparation and that understanding of what it is that you are consuming, what you're going through, what you like, what you dislike. By the time you get into these sections that now you're farther and farther and farther away from your resupply stations, you want an understanding of that prior to going in. And these trail magic offerings, which are amazing, but they're not helping your reducing your food weight. They're not helping your mental preparation in understanding food weight. And it also plays with your mental game.
Well, yeah, because, you know, the thing is that, so if I'm, you know, I'm backpacking, right? The first 30 miles of AT in the reality, or the first 21 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail. And, you know, you have no idea those first 30 miles, that is your mental ability to accept where you're going and what you're doing. It's, you know, it's not to be underestimated.
True.
And so what is more of a mental Like, what is more of a mental discouragement? Is it, man, I started the trail and my pack weight was 35 pounds. I did 30 miles of the Appalachian Trail. My pack weight is 35 pounds. You know, I mean.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, you know, think about their weight in water. So, I mean, let's jump from food to water for a second. You coordinate your water with like hitting up another water. So you're not carrying as much water when you know you're going to have a stream every 5 miles. And you
right.
can it's the same concept.
Right.
Like, you know that by the time you get to the next resupply station, you know, you're going to be down that 10 pounds of food that you're carrying with you. And when you don't deplete that 10 pounds, that becomes a more physical burden.
So, and
a
that,
more mental burden.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, is that, you know, yeah, we're talking about food, absolutely, right? But every single tent that does trail magic also has bottled water. So now not only am I not eating the food in my pack, but now I'm having 2 8-ounce bottles of water, which is, you know,
oh, you
8
can't.
To 16 ounces of water. Now I'm not even drinking my water.
I was about to say, you really can't overhydrate, but you can. We've talked about that in
you can overhydrate. But the thing is like, you know, and now because I've just drank 16, I just add 2 hot dogs, maybe a bowl of chili, a Danish orange, and maybe an apple. And I've wasted an hour hiking at, you know.
Well, your digestive system is
now
all messed up.
Now I've drank 16 ounces of water, right? Do you think I'm really going to eat my Mountain House pasta dish for dinner? No. Oh, I am so full.
And well, part of
And by the way, in the first 100 miles of the trail, if you're eating that much trail magic or food and you eat a Mountain House dinner every night after you've had all that food, you are going to gain weight. You're going to be highly disappointed your first 100 miles when you hit the scale like, oh my God, I've gained 5 pounds. Because Mountain House foods are loaded with sugars, calories, you know, everything bad that you're not supposed to eat. You don't really start burning calories really into your body realizes, wow, I'm really gonna be doing this for a while. You know, I'm really physically exerting myself. So, you know, it may take you 7 to 10 days to start really burning calories anyway. So just, I guess, you know, what we're trying to say is that, you know, we love trail magic. We love people that volunteer for the trail and volunteer to help the backpacker. We did it for a long time. But I think sometimes as a backpacker, you need to be aware of, you know, what's right for me to get to where I'm going to go versus the socialization part of the trail.
You know, I've always been very amazed by those hikers that walk right past the tent in the past. That
Totally respect them.
And I remember the first hiker that ever did that, I was like, oh, interesting. And then the second hiker, the third hiker, the seventh hiker, the tenth hiker. And I started to realize the power in saying no to things that weren't right for you. Trail magic is not so much about the food as it is about receiving something that you need the most when you need it the most. And it's about, a lot of times you're completely unaware that you're even in need of something, or you're down, you're discouraged, you, I mean, a laundry list of emotions, thoughts, you know, inabilities, whatever the case may be. And accepting trail magic, which is where the debate with the ATC comes in. No, it's hiker feed versus trail magic, because trail magic was a more of an older school thought of providing hikers with a surprise gift, a surprise offering. And those have been some of our favorite moments. I mean, we did an interview with Jack Masters last week, and he received his own version of trail magic when he heard in the distance somebody singing American Pie, and he needed that boost.
In the rain when he was feeling miserable.
And for him, that was more of a gift than running across a table at that point. I remember one of the most amazing gifts I had ever received. I was in the Smokies. Unbeknownst to me, the entire Smoky Mountain National Park had shut down. Shut down. And I was hiking
closed.
Through it. Closed.
Goodbye. Have fun.
No clue. I probably should have known with the weather that had just come through.
You mean the 90-mile-per-hour winds you were hiking through?
And I mean, we had been talking. I was hiking with this group, and we had been talking about a burger in Gatlinburg. That's all we could think about. And I was convinced, I'm not getting off. I'm not going to Gatlinburg. I'm not doing this. And, you know, the power of joining a group, and they're all like, hamburger, big juicy burger, you know, Gatlinburg, warmth. And it turns out hiker hunger hit, and so I was screwed in the long run, and I had eaten all my food, and so I definitely had to go into Gatlinburg to resupply. And so I convinced myself, I'm in. I'm going to Gatlinburg. I'm getting that juicy burger. And we get to Newfoundland Gap. There's no cars. And if you've ever been to the Great Smoky Mountain National Park up in Newfoundland Gap, you know it is packed at any time of the season. It doesn't matter. And we get there and I'm like, why are there no cars? This is really oddly quiet. And there's guys up there trimming the bushes of all things. And we're like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, oh, park's closed. We're stuck up here. We can't get down. And we're like, wait, what? Excuse me? Repeat what you just said? And so this, like, this realization of that burger is so unbelievably far away at this point. And what was supposed to be a quick, like, hitchhike jaunt into Gatlinburg, because it was a sure ride in, became a 15-mile walk on pavement road after, you know, spending well over a month walking on the soft, cushy earth and being in the woods. Now I have to face 15 miles in inclement weather on pavement. It was the most discouraging thought of my life, because that burger was no longer even a thought anymore. I was like, okay, goodbye burger. I'm not going to get that anymore. And the trail magic we received was one of the gentlemen we were hiking with turns around. He's like, I got a car. And we're like, what do you mean you have a car? Because he was just doing a section hike and his car was parked up there. He's like, let's see how far we can get down. We crammed everybody in that car, and that burger was closer and closer and closer and closer. And it ended up working out. We got down there, and what was intended to be a 15-mile walk on pavement ended up being maybe a 30-minute car ride down to the burger. I got the burger. And it was amazing. And it's like things like that. That's the trail magic. You know, having the candy bar in your situation, handed to you when you needed it the most, having medical attention out of the blue because, you know, there's an EMT on the trail and he's exactly what you need at that exact time to get you through something. And it's things like that trail magic is intended for. And that's really why we chose to pull back on offering trail magic, aka hiker feed, this year, is because we wanted to offer it in a very different realm and in a more necessity based to the hikers.
Yeah, we felt that we really did feel in our hearts that we weren't helping the backpacker anymore by giving them food. We thought that our trail magic would be more of service. So whether it was kind of like giving out some bleach wipes. So, you know, the norovirus is pretty yucky out there. We did a whole podcast on that. You know, maybe it's a shuttle ride, or maybe it's a pack shakedown. Like, hey, let's shake down your backpack. Let's see why your pack is too heavy. And offering some encouragement, whatever we can. We thought that that was the best way to go. And it's ironic that both of, you know, one of our great experiences is in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. That's so weird that, you know, you had that great experience. And on my thru hike, I remember coming up in the Smokies, and I hadn't seen a view since I had started my hike. It was rainy, foggy, and I think I've said this before, I shared this before, but my trail magic was just going up to Rocky Top at the Smokies and yelling, you know, at the universe, you know, for the love of God, why would you stop raining? And and it's like this big wind blew, and the clouds kind of like moved over to one side, and I got to see like this beautiful view of the Smokies. It was about 15 seconds long, but I got my view and I got what I wanted. And so it's like sometimes trail magic is just trusting the trail. It's letting the trail provide you with what you need, not necessarily what you want. And sometimes the hot dog and the other stuff seems really cool, but
and tasty,
but if you're hiking a long distance hike, trust us when we tell you that there's a lot of food out there. There's a lot of people that want to help. There's a lot of opportunities that will afford you that trail, that real trail magic that doesn't necessarily hurt your pack weight, but doesn't necessarily hamper your quest to get to where you're going. And so don't be seduced by the hot dog all the time. It's great to eat it, you know, once in a while, but you know, during your during the springtime or during hiking season, specifically in the Southeast, when you're getting ready to hike, you're going to run into a lot of food out there. So just trust the trail and know that, you know, not, you know, and the other thing too that we didn't really talk about is that, you know, the more trail magic you have in the beginning, the more or the less you start planning your food properly. And so you get a little spoiled. And so it's not that, you know, there's an entitlement feeling out there, but hey guys, I got news for you. Trail magic doesn't last that much longer after you get out of, you know, when you start getting to Pennsylvania and you start getting up north, yeah, it's slim pickings for trail magic. That's just the way now it's Pennsylvania, you'll probably get a little bit, but when you start getting in the northern states, you're not going to see a lot of trail magic out there. So, you know, just be aware that, you know, trail magic is good, but know the difference between trail magic, real trail magic, and a hiker feed, and sometimes no is it's okay to say. We don't want more weight in your food bag, and we certainly don't want people quitting their dream because, you know, their pack was too heavy, for sure. And I think sometimes trail magic, it doesn't really contribute that, but it doesn't help it either. I think that's what we're trying to say, right?
Yeah, it's an interesting conundrum. You know, when you have such a generous offer out there by individuals that truly want to connect and help and support the hikers, there is an aspect of harmfulness in it, perhaps, and that's the debate that we want to hear from you guys.
What do you guys think about that
on it? Because this is a topic that's runs deep and wide.
Yeah, we're pretty we're pretty passionate about it, only because of the time that we, you know, we've been there, and both as backpackers and on the other side providing, you know, encouragement. And
well, and I've been there as a backpacker. Somebody on the trail has simply said, "Oh my gosh, you're just a mile away from hot dogs." Well, guess what? That mile, they had packed up and gone. I was expecting a hot dog in that parking lot, and it was nowhere to be found. And so it's like, you know, I've been on every possible end of the spectrum, giving, receiving, disappointed by not receiving. And I think we want to hear from you, you know, joining in on our podcast community, Trust the Trail page on Facebook. What do you have to say on the topic?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, I want to say that it's not a right or wrong issue, okay? It's not a right or wrong gig here. I think social media in of itself plays a part in the expansion of what trail magic is to a lot of people. I mean, like we said before, there weren't trail clubs. There wasn't the availability of creating organizations, clubs, meetups, all of that back in the day. And so now that there is, I think that social media does play a big part in letting people connect to the wilderness or the outdoors, or the Appalachian Trail, or the Pacific Crest Trail, or any of your other trails, long-distance trails, in a way that wasn't available before. And so, it's a good thing, but as, you know, as a backpacker or somebody whose quest is to do a long-distance trail, I think it's kind of like now it's almost like, you know, buyer beware type of thing. Like, hey, you know what? It's a good thing, but, you know, you're not helping yourself by not eating your food out of your food bag. An apple, an orange here or there, awesome. Cup of coffee, great. Maybe a little orange juice on the way. Man, candy bar. Well, candy bar, absolutely. Take the candy bar.
I think the magic in trail magic is truly defined by the receiver. And so what is it to you? Is it what you're receiving from another? Is that the magic in the trail magic being provided? Or is it simply an offering to connect?
Yeah, hey, I just wrote a whole blog post about a tall, slinky man on the AT that handed me a candy bar, saved my life. So, you know, take the candy bar. I just wrote that blog post on our TrustTheTrailPodcast.com site. So I've been enjoying blogging on that site lately. So, but anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to our podcast. We really feel kind of passionate about the topic of trail magic and hiker feed and how it helps, hurts, that, you know, and what that whole thing is. And we'd love to hear what you guys have to say. If you enjoy the podcast, please give a review on iTunes and help spread the word. It really helps get our podcast out there. And really, super. We are on Spotify, we're on Podbean, we're on Stitcher. We are just about everywhere now on almost all
it's
the...
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. It is very exciting. And then, of course, we're on Patreon, too. So if you'd love to support the podcast, just go to our Patreon page, /TrustTheTrail. And in the meantime...
Remember,
trust the trail. See you guys later. Bye.